things. And this time I really don't have much of an excuse. Last time I had I think I had an hour to prepare or something. So this time I was given a few days, but I'm gonna get a chair here. Try this route here. Before I start, Jed, will you just pray for me, man? Man, I was just listening to Luke and Sam play, and guys, y'all carry an anointing. I mean, I know people tell you this, but, you know, it's like you guys have just been anointed to just usher in, the presence of the Lord, you know, just the glory of God. I was just hearing words of like the Shekinah glory and just the weight of God falls down. It just made me kind of think of what we're going to kind of talk about tonight. You know, when I got saved, just God's always given me this place to just worship freely, in a sense. And one thing I love about worship is that it makes me feel out of control. And if I had to like think of a title of this teaching or message or you know whatever you want to call it, I would say it's an out-of-control lifestyle. This would just be called an out-of-control lifestyle. And God's been... What I'm doing tonight is just sharing some things, and I'm really talking to myself on a lot of this stuff, of just some things that God is really working on uprooting out of my life, you know. And I just hope it's revelation and not confusion for anybody. You know, I just love that place of worship where... you know, there's been times in my life where you worship and you can't even stand before the presence of God because of the Shekinah glory, just that weight of God comes down and you can't even stand before Him and you are just out of control. You know, and I think that a lot of that is how God has intended us to live our lives, like not just during worship, but every day, every hour is just to live out of control and to rest in that place of being out of control. And guys, it is something I have struggled with for so long. I have grown up, I had to grow up quick as a kid, I worked, you know, when I was 15, and just helped my mom out, you know, with bills and things. And I've spent a lot of my life being in control. And I have found myself up until like, you know, just the last, I mean, recently, like, there's been a lot of ungodly things that have come out of that. And a lot of the jobs that I've had and things I've done, I come out of construction background, you know, I'm rewarded at how well I can control things. You know, just pats on the back financially, how well I can control things, how well I can control people. And it can filter into an ungodly life. It really can. And you know, I think God's taken me into those deep areas where He's wanting to just pluck me out of that, you know. And I've kind of switched. I've kind of gotten out of that field of construction. And what's cool is I was thinking about this today. This was like revelation for me. I was thinking about this today. Like, now I'm placed in where I used to be, where I was placed to say, here, you've pretty much got total control of all this. Now, control it well. Now I'm in a place that there's so many things out of my control, it drives me insane. I come home and just unleash on my wife and I feel like some others around me, because there's so many places and things that I'm out of control of. But here's the greatness of it all, and this is so elementary, but God is in control, you know, God started just reading from the beginning through the book of Psalms, and there's so much you can get out of Psalms, you know. If you want to go ahead and turn to Psalms 27, we're going to flip around a little bit tonight. Psalms 27, we have read it. Bishop has had some just profound preaching on it. And one thing I want to say before I get too deep into this, I never want to forget the platform that I'm standing here, and I just spiritual authority means a lot to me, and I am honored to just stand here before you. That the most anointed teaching that I've heard in my life comes from right here, and so I'm honored to be here. I mean that with all sincerity. So Psalm 27. So, you know, David had all this stuff go on with his life. I mean, he was a man after God's own heart, right? He fought battles. He sent men into battles. You know, we all know the story and what happened with him and Bathsheba, and you know, his own children tried to kill him. David spent so much of his life really glorifying God. And we read all that in Psalms, but I think one of the things too that we can get out of the book of Psalms is David spent so much of his writings and so much of his life telling God, like just proclaiming to God that he was in control. I mean, throughout all the book you see he spends so much time telling God that he's not in control. You know, it's just kind of a new way to read it. If you start reading the book of Psalms, you know, and it's it can be a new outlook on life for you. You know, you can spend your lifetime from this moment on telling God that you're not in control. You know, you can do that with your actions, with your life, and everything. I mean, God help me do that. Psalm 27. We've heard it so many times, but I try to read this like once, twice a week. One thing, this is verse 4. One thing I have asked from the Lord that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in His temple. For in the day of trouble He will conceal me in His tabernacle. In the secret place of His tent He will hide me. So, I like to think of it as part of David's dwelling place was he dwelled in a place where he was totally out of control. You know, the life we live now, the life that we're, you know, we face every day, is we're told to be in control, right? I mean, everything. Control the situation. Control everything. And I think that is a place of freedom. You know, it is for me and for somebody maybe here tonight that you can... You can live in that, you can dwell in that place, you can seek that place where you just dwell in the tabernacle and the tent of God, that you don't feel like you have to be in control. The cool thing is how we rest in that. Like, the biggest part of that and how we rest in it is that we know that God is good. That we are out of control, and we're under the control of the One who is good. And I love this part in 13, and this is something to speak over a situation in life. Verse 13, it says, I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord. How many situations can we look into? You know, how many situations can we speak into that bring us to despair and negativity and everything and say, I can see the goodness of the Lord because God is good. Right? We're under the feet of the One who is good. So let's go to Hebrews 2. We're going to get into the New Testament here. All right. Let's go Hebrews 2, verse 5. And this was revelation for me because, you know, there was the time of David. Now we're in the reign of Christ, right? I mean, he's died. He's risen to life. He's died on the cross, and he's alive. He's with us. We're in Christ. It says, for he did not subject to angels the world to come, concerning which we are speaking. But one has testified somewhere saying, what is man that thou rememberest him, or the son of man that thou art concerned about him? Thou hast made him for a little while lower than the angels. Thou hast crowned him with glory and honor, and hast appointed him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all the things in subjection under his feet. And that's from Psalm 7, I think. For in subjecting all things to him, he left nothing that is not subject to him. But now we do not yet see all the things subjected to him. So, subjecting all things to him. The Greek, I love looking this originality of words. Sometimes you just, it takes it from here. Yeah. You know? So subjecting is the hupotasso, and it comes from a word hupo, and it generically means put under or beneath. Right? So it implies the word submission. So we could almost read it as, for in making all things, right, submit to him. So saying all things are submitted to him. Right? So what you walked through yesterday, what you're walking through tomorrow, is under the feet of Jesus. Right? That's revelation. I mean, it's elementary revelation. All things under the feet of Jesus. All right. So let's 1 Corinthians 15:27. It says, for he has put all things in subjection under his feet. But when he says all things are put in subjection, it is evident that he has accepted who put all things in subjection to him. And when all things are subjection to him, then the Son himself also will be subjected to the one who subjected all things to him, that God may be in all. So we are in Christ, right? And it's all been put under Jesus' feet. You know, it's hard for me to receive that a lot of times, that when something goes wrong or something is totally out of my control or somebody's offended me, if I see a financial situation or something I can't change, like, I want to be in control. And I have to receive the fact that everything is under the feet of Jesus. And so God's given him this dominion, right? Let's go to Ephesians 1:22. I know we're skipping around, but I love how it's just all, you know, it's all just saying the same thing. It's God just reinforcing his word. And he put all things in subjection under his feet, and gave him as head over all things to the church. You know, all things, that's been a kind of a common denominator. You know, all things. It means everything you've walking through, everything you've walked through, everything you did last night, everything you did last week that you're ashamed of, everything, anything in your marriage with your spouse, everything has been put under subjection, under submission to Jesus. All right. Let's go to Colossians 1, and then we're going to finish up. We'll start in 9. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience joyously, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. For He delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. In Him we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, and He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions, rulers or authorities, all things have been created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He is also head of the body, the church, and He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that He Himself might come to have first place in everything, even our lives. I just added our lives, but that's what He means. So, one thing I was seeing here is that all things have been created by Him and for Him. You know, here's something you can receive because we're getting an election. You know, Hillary Clinton and whatever administration she has been created. Could you receive that if that were to happen? Could you receive that? That it's been created by Him and for Him. I mean, God forbid, I hope that doesn't happen. But I stand here before you and I'm saying that I'm going to be able to say that it has been created for Him. That is how we are to live our lives. That whatever happens, it's been created for Him. Because it's all about Him. Everything. It's all about Him. It's all for Him. If I could get that in my mind every day I wake up, that everything, when somebody absolutely just puts the screws to me, when somebody just makes me furious, it's all been created for Jesus. Everything. That's something to receive. It doesn't mean that we have to go and fix it. What we have to do is receive the Word of God and know that we can take rest in that. That we can take rest, that it's all been created for Jesus. It's all been put under His feet. One thing when we were talking about control, when feel in control, or when we have to have control, or when we're attempting to take control, we are attempting to take away the very right and dominion that has been given to Jesus. And isn't that something? Like, we don't even realize that's what we're doing. It's like we're making it harder for ourselves, you know? God's made it easy. He really has. He's made it easy. We take away what has been, we are trying to take away, we won't be able to, but we are trying to take away what has been given to Jesus because He wants to be in control for us. He loves us enough to do that because we're a wreck, we're a mess, we're filled with the flesh. He loves us enough to be in total control of everything. Isn't that awesome? It's a place of love, you know? I was thinking about, like, just in the life of David and stuff, you know, kings sent armies and everything to take control. They would, you know, send out masses of armies to take over and everything. What did God do? What did God do to take control? He sent His Son to the cross to die for you. Isn't that awesome? That's control. That's control. You know, if we can receive this, we can learn how to love uncontrollably. You know, I've just been asking that, like, over the last few hours. Like, I was meditating on that. Mallory had brought me dinner tonight, and I was just meditating on that. I was like, God, give me the ability to just be out of control, to love uncontrollably. You know, like, I don't even realize sometimes, like, I'm trying to take control of how I love somebody or how I even love my spouse sometimes. You know? Like, I really don't have that right. Not if I'm under the feet of Jesus. Like, we can receive the freedom to love uncontrollably. You know? It's not even us. If I try to do it, and I try to do it, you know, I can't do it. I can't do it. It's the love of God that we can receive to just love uncontrollably. Because we're not in control. We're under the feet of Jesus. It's so elementary, but it's so against the flesh. You know? It's so against the flesh. So I just pray that over us tonight. Whatever relationship you're having, or even, you know, if it's with your wife, girlfriend, your boss, family members, you know, we really don't have a right to be offended. We really don't have a right to try to make something happen, you know. We really don't. Like, it's under the feet of Jesus, you know. Can we submit to the fact that it's all under the feet of Jesus? And just receive it, you know. Receive it. Father, I just thank You. I thank You for the Word. And Lord, I just pray that I can receive and hear everything that's been said tonight. I pray that Your Word has gone forth, Lord. And I pray every time I get in Your Word, Lord, I just want it to change my life. I want it to change somebody else's life. Anytime it's spoken forth, that's what it does. It marks us. It marks us for change. Lord, I just pray that You would just let this resonate in our souls. God, I pray that the Word would just be sealed. Birds of prey would not be allowed to pluck it, Lord. It would be just sealed deep down into our hearts and our minds and our souls, Lord. We just thank You for the love of God. We thank You for the love of You and Jesus, God, God, that we don't have to be in control. That You are in absolute, total control, God. We repent for anything of what we've tried to take away from the dominion of Jesus Christ that's been given to Him and placed under Him. And Lord, we just give it up. We just make the proclamation as a body, as a church, that we give up control, Lord. It's all about You. It's all Yours, Lord. And we just praise You and thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. That's all I got.